The following is a lecture entitled Giving Up False Ego, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 14th, 2009, in Pune, India.
So, I've been asked to speak on how to get rid of that rascal, false ego. You see, every one of us is a bhakta leader, you see. We have to train up ourselves, you see. Everyone's a bhakta leader. And you get to lead yourself. How to get rid of that damn false ego. Ahankara. That thing is such an enemy, you know. It's keeping us in this cycle of birth and death for millions and millions of births. The Mayavadis, they also say they want to get rid of false ego. But their conception is to inflate the false ego. I am God. So that is a stupid approach. To inflate that thing which is very kind of bondage. The Vaishnavas, they naturally get rid of their false ego. Simply by reviving the real ego. Now they say ego is bad. That's commonly, you shouldn't have ego. No. Ego means identity. Nothing wrong with ego. But false ego, that's the problem. Ego you must have. Because you are individual. Natvevahang jatuna sang natvang neme janadipa nachayva namavishama sarvevayamatapanam. Krishna confirms. You have ego eternally. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So you eternally have an ego. And actually the real ego also exists eternally, jivera sarupa hai krishna rinchidav. But it is covered by the false ego. So, how to get rid of that false ego? Simply, we have to reinforce the real ego. I remember that day when I first officially accepted. It was so nice. I had gotten a Bhagavad Gita. And I wrote my name. I said, such and such, my karmi name. Such and such, the eternal servant of Krishna. I wrote that in the Bhagavad Gita. That was a major turning point in my life, you see. I now affirmed my actual identity. Now I am the eternal servant of Krishna. So that affirmation, I am the eternal servant of Krishna, is the, that's how you get rid of the false ego. It's simple. You just have to affirm, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. That's why we wear tilak. That's why we wear neck bead. That's why we dress in devotional clothing. That's why we bow down, why we do all these things. That's why we accept spiritual names. All these things to reinforce the real ego, that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. So, the false ego is not easy to get rid of. Theoretically, we can immediately accept, I'm not this body, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. But, the tendency to perceive pleasure based on our senses, that lingers. As long as I'm taking the pleasure of my senses to be my actual happiness, that's false ego. So I have to understand that my happiness is not the pleasure of my senses. My happiness is to please Krishna, the senses of Krishna. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. One should engage his senses in the service of Rishikesha, the master of the senses. That's how false ego becomes conquered. Sadhana Bhakti means you go on faithfully acting for the pleasure of the Supreme Person. Of course, it's not that your senses are neglected. Krishna is Govinda, the one who gives pleasure to the senses. So if you engage yourself in serving the senses of Krishna, Krishna will see that you're satisfied. Just like one time the devotees asked Prabhupada, well, how much prasadam is proper for us to eat? There was all these debates. I remember how heavy it sometimes was. At breakfast, there'd be that someone said, well, Prabhupada said you can't take more than 7 chickpeas. You know? So there was some rule, you could only have 7 chickpeas. You know. But Prabhupada actually stated, because there was all these rumors going around, well, you can't eat this much, you can't have that much. But Prabhupada told us, he said, if my disciple wants more prasadam, I'm the spiritual master and I must provide it. So, Prabhupada's program was that he'd give you as much prasadam as you like. In fact, there was that boy, Strayadish. In the very beginning, he used to eat 20 chapatis at every meal. 20 chapatis. Can you imagine? 20 chapatis. So, it's not that we deny the senses. But we give Krishna the first enjoyment, the first satisfaction. And then we satisfy ourselves with the prasad of Krishna. Naturally, as one advances in Krishna consciousness, one becomes more detached from sense enjoyment. It's like in the beginning of the spiritual path, someone may feel they need to get married to have sex life. But when they become mature in Krishna consciousness, they can practice complete celibacy with a peaceful mind. So, it's a gradual process of purification of consciousness. One has to stay on the pathway without falling back, without falling down. And then in due course of time, the transformation, the desired transformation, you see, it become gradually manifest. We will naturally become more and more detached from the bodily pleasures and more attached to pleasing Krishna. So we just have to serve our spiritual master, serve our those devotees who represent him follow the instructions that we're receiving faithfully. In this way, we become cured from this disease of ahankar. It's a simple process. Simple for the simple and difficult for the crooked. If you will simply take this simple process, then you'll become successful. But if you want to psychoanalyze the whole thing, you see. It's like a jar of honey. If you want to taste the honey, you open the lid and stick your tongue in the jar, then you will taste the honey. But if you think, well, what is this? You want to analyze. What is this jar? And what is this lid? And what is this honey? I want to analyze it, you see. I will lick the outside of the jar. I want to make sure to look before I leap. I'm not going to open the lid and put my tongue in. I'm going to lick the outside of the jar. Now, if you want to overanalyze what is this bhakti path, without actually doing it, you see, you will not. That means you have a jnani mentality. You will not be successful. You will lose the taste for Krishna consciousness in due course. You will not be successful in conquering your false ego. You have to actually follow the instructions. Open that lid, stick your tongue in, you see, then you will taste the honey. How sweet is this honey? So in this way, if we will be vigilant, be determined, be enthusiastic, be patient, and faithfully execute this process, our success is guaranteed. If there's any questions, I can answer them. All these great books that Prabhupada is giving us, the Sri Ishapanishad, the Nectar of Instruction, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Easy Journey to Other Planets, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So many wonderful books Prabhupada is giving us. If we study these books very scrutinizingly, we will understand what is the process of getting rid of the false ego. And if we actually apply in practice what we understand by carefully reading these books, then that glorious day when the ahankar becomes completely destroyed and we're actually qualified to see Krishna face to face, that day will come to us. That wonderful day when we can actually see Krishna face to face. When the false pride is completely gone from our hearts. We have no desire except to please Krishna. And that's it. My pleasure is Krishna's pleasure. That's all. Whatever pleases Krishna, that's what pleases me. And if it doesn't please Krishna, I don't want anything to do with it. You see, that's the mentality. So are there any questions ready? While chanting the holy names, the mind becomes distracted by thoughts related to services. How to overcome? Actually, it's nice if you think of devotional service. At least you're not thinking of something mundane. So it's not maya in one sense. But there's a time and place for everything, so it's not your time to meditate on service. If it happens, just bring your mind back. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. It's nice you're thinking of service. Nice. But it's not the right time to think of service. The thing is, you may think, well, I have to think of my service now, so I can do my service properly. I have to meditate on it now. No. If you will go very deeply into the names right now during your japa period and lay aside all other thoughts, you will gain a deeper realization about how to properly do your service than if you try to think about your service while you're chanting at the same time. So the desire to analyze your service and figure out what you can, how to do your service, etc., etc., that will be fulfilled if you increase your focus on the holy names. Next question. Sometimes our practice, devotional service, goes good. Sometimes it goes bad. How to understand what to do. Don't be a sunshine patriot and a fair weather friend. That I like Krishna consciousness, but everything is going very nicely, according to my desires, then I like it very much. And when things go bad against my desires, then I want to get out of here, you see. That means we are not surrendered to Krishna. It's like a business. We're like a businessman doing business with Krishna. You see. Then I moved into the temple, and now I'm miserable in the temple. Therefore, I will go home. No, you've surrendered to Krishna. Even if you're miserable, that's all right. You've given up that principle of pleasing yourself. Now you just want to please Krishna. If by being miserable I can please Krishna, that's all right. Like the gopis, you know, willing to go to hell to cure Krishna's headache. But the insider secret is, as soon as you're in that mood, then you become absolutely ecstatic. So give up the tendency to think I have to make an arrangement for my happiness. No. What will please my spiritual master? What will please Krishna? By doing that, then everything will just click into place and you go, wow, I didn't know Krishna consciousness was this great. I knew it was good, but I didn't have any idea it was this good. Wow. Okay. Though I get prasadam in the temple, sometimes I feel like eating things which I like. Not very often, but it's just sense gratification. What do you like? Sweets? Huh? Prabhupada said a sweet every now and then. He authorized. Not that if I eat a sweet, it's Maya, you know. I remember when I was a brahmachari, when I was at a Ratiyacha festival, and I had a Simply Wonderful, I was getting ready to pop it in my mouth, you know. And this one brahmachari came up to me and he said, stop! That's a dhoti whitener. In other words, if you eat that, you're going to fall down and become a grihastha. If you eat that Simply Wonderful. He warned me, don't eat that sweet. But guess who got married shortly after that? He did. Not me. I made brahmachari for 14 years, you see. So, yeah. No, a sweet every now and then is okay. But don't make it like every, you have to, you know, have a constant stream of sweets. That's not good. But every now and then. Every now and then you can have some sweet. It's okay. Prabhupada authorized. Okay, let's see. How did you come to Krishna consciousness? Can you tell some pastimes of... I already told Jayananda this morning. Pastimes of Jayananda. I came to Krishna consciousness because... Well, at the time I was a... I had this idea that my mission in life was to be a part of a spiritual revolution that would completely change the course of human history. And I was looking for that spiritual revolution, you see. And I found out that Prabhupada was the one who was doing it, you see. So then I joined forces with Prabhupada's army. And I found out that Prabhupada was the one who was actually bringing about the desired spiritual revolution on the planet. In a nutshell, that's how I came to Krishna consciousness. Somebody asked me this morning, why do you travel? What inspires you to travel and preach? I was realizing later today an extra answer I could have given to that. And that is that my desire is to live long enough to see that the whole world will become Krishna conscious. Therefore, I travel and preach. to do everything I can to push it forward, push it forward, push it forward. Encourage everybody to push it forward, push it forward. Very aggressively. Push forward this principle of pure bhakti, you see, coming from Prabhupada. So, yeah, okay, let's see. It's very difficult to develop relations with all the devotees. In that case, how can we at least develop working relations? Well, always, you have to always be respectful to devotees. Ye me bhakta jana parata, ma me bhakta stache janaha, mad bhaktanascha me yakpam, ye me bhakta tamamata. Krishna says, the devotee of my devotee, he's not my devotee. Name bhaktas, but the devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. So you have to try to serve every devotee with love. Whenever you're dealing with a devotee, try to see that devotee as a very special personality on this planet. Just imagine if you were stranded away from the devotees. For many years, you got stranded on some desert island, you know. You had no association. And then you met one devotee. Some devotee just happened to come there, seeing about opening up a retreat center or something like that. And how much you would feel happiness to be with that one devotee. So we should see every devotee like that. Every devotee is very rare and very special. Every devotee in this movement is an oasis of transcendental bliss. So we have to learn how to respect these walking, talking oases, the ISKCON devotees, you see. Okay. Should we think that our spiritual master was a pure devotee from birth, in the Jasiddha, or he may be a sadhana siddha? Actually, Prabhupada has asked this question. It doesn't matter. Siddha is siddha. Whether he was a sadhana siddha, a nitya siddha, it doesn't matter. And I'll give you a further point in this connection. We are presently in the dimension of time, okay? Past, present, and future. In the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. That means when the nitya buddha goes back to Godhead, he becomes nitya siddha. In other words, since it's the eternal present there, there's no time and you were never back to Godhead. It's hard to understand because we are right now in the realm of time. So actually the spiritual master, he is nitya siddha. Even if he was sadhana siddha. When he becomes siddha, then he becomes nitya siddha. It's a little hard to understand, but when one becomes liberated, he enters into the realm of timelessness. So that means there was no time when he was not with Krishna. Even though he was away from Krishna, he was in a misconception. It's like you're in the middle of the Bhagavatam class and you nod out, you see, and then you wake up again. You're there in the Bhagavatam class, but you go somewhere else, into some dream world, dreaming that you're the king, and you have all these subjects worshipping you, something like that. And then you wake up, oh, it's Bhagavatam. So going back to Godhead is kind of like that. You're in the Bhagavatam class, but you're not out, and you're having this whole dream, and it's a very heavy dream, a nightmare actually, going through millions of species, and you know, Brahmaji, and Indra, and down to the Indragopa, and all this stuff going on. It's like a brief nightmare. It seems like it's going on forever, you see. You have a brief nightmare of some tigers chasing you. It seems like it goes on for all of eternity, that dream. So, if he's siddha, that's what counts. Whether he's sadhana siddha or nitya siddha, doesn't really matter. Siddha is siddha. I have a strong craving of being honored and respected by others. How to deal with this craving and hanking? Give honor and respect to others. That's a simple thing. Instead of trying to take honor and respect, give honor and respect. And then you'll become satisfied. It's the fact that devotees should be honored and respected. If you're thinking, well, I should be honored and respected because I'm a devotee, then you'll have difficulties. But if you give all honor and respect to all devotees, you'll be satisfied. And you will get so much honor and respect if you do that, automatically. Give all honor and respect to Vaishnava. That's the key. Would you please share your pastimes of Holiness Vishnu Janaswami Maharaj? Well, yes, I can. Maybe something more. He was he's a little humorous. We went to Dallas. At that time, I was a long-haired hippie with hair down to my shoulders. And we went to all the devotees from Vishnujana and all the devotees in Austin. We went up to Dallas for a Lord Chaitanya festival. So they thought I was an ideal. I looked at the ideal part to play the Kazi in the Chan Kazi Leela drama. So they had me play the Kazi, you see. I got to smash the drum. They had a drum that was already broken on one side, but they hit it, and then I got to smash the other side. It was very dramatic, you see. But then a few days after the festival, actually that day I started chanting 16 rounds, that very day of the festival. That morning I got up and did 16 rounds and been doing it ever since. But I remember two or three days later I was back in Austin, I had shaved up, and I remember Vishnujana was on the phone with the temple president of Dallas, Mohanananda Prabhu, and he said, the Kazi shaved up. So I remember that. They nicknamed me the Kazi because I was a Kazi-like character, you see. But they're very kind to me. Let's see, what else was there? I remember walking. I lived maybe 2 miles from the temple. A little house they had. It was just a small house in a residential neighborhood. But they invited me to come for their morning program, so I got up very early before the sunrise, and I walked all the way across town to the center. No, it was a different morning, yeah. It's after I was living there, yeah. I remember, see, we were all raw recruits. We didn't know how to offer arti. We didn't know how to lead kirtan. We knew nothing. He had to do everything. He would offer the arti and lead the kirtan at the same time. That's how everything was on his shoulders, you see. And there was no instrument. He couldn't even clap his hands because he was offering the arti, you see. But there was so much bhakti in his voice. The way he would sing, oh, it would just melt your heart to hear him singing like that. It was so sweet. And then later on, there's actually a recording, the Paramount Studio recording. One day, he said, well, they want me to come to L.A. to do a recording. So we took him to the airport, and he flew off to L.A. and did a recording. And there was two devotees playing the drum in the recording, two devotees playing madanga. His Holiness Vishnujana Swami was playing madanga, and there was another devotee playing madanga in the kirtan, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The two of them were playing madanga. And you can hear that. I have that recording. It's commonly available still. And if you want to hear, I can. It's there. I have the MP3 of it. It's so nice to hear. And then he's singing Vande Hum to Prabhupada. Right there where Prabhupada is sitting there playing the drum. He's singing Vande Hum. And there's so much feeling. There's so much love. It would melt the rocks. So I was just hearing that the other day. So we were leaving Vrindavan and coming to Delhi. I was in the cab. I was listening to the headset. How he was singing Vande Hum with the Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was playing the drum. It was that when Prabhupada plays the drum, it's really powerful. There's so much bhakti. I was with Prabhupada in Atlanta when he taught us that song, Parama Karuna. Parama Karuna Pundvijana Nitai Goro Chandra. Padma Karuna Pundvijana Nitai Gaura Chandra Vishaya Chadiya Sera Se Majiya Muke Bolo Hari Hari. This way Prabhupada is teaching us this song. It was so sweet. He was teaching us a new bhajan we didn't know. And I was recording it with my tape recorder. And then Prabhupada said, now play back the recording. And I was thinking, well, there's many devotees who have just recorded. Let one of the others play back theirs. I'm going to keep recording. This is what's happening now. And what he did, on the second, when it was playing again, he got the madanga and played the madanga along with his chanting. He was playing kartal and singing, and then he played madanga. So I have a recording of both renditions. I offered it to Bhaktivedanta Archives, and they didn't want it, but I plan to put it on as a bonus track on a CD in the future. But it was just reminded me, that Vishnujana reminded me of this. It was like Prabhupada would play the jungle, it was like it was a whole symphony orchestra, you know. It was just—it's like a whole big hall with 120 musicians. When he played that madanga, it was just like a huge symphony orchestra. It was so wonderful. So, all right, we'll go on. As the mind is my king of all senses. And if the mind is the controller, the senses follows. But in the control of the mind, one should restrain the senses, which becomes difficult when the mind becomes disturbed, agitated, and without controlling the mind and senses, we can't have the higher taste. So where we start from and continue steadily in our Krishna consciousness, Prabhu, or practice. Actually, you're working from both ends. Should I focus on controlling my mind or controlling the senses? Do both. Work it from both ends. That's the key. Work it from both ends. Say, okay, mind, you've been a rascal long enough. You've been a Vrindavan monkey for long enough, swinging from branch to branch, stealing bananas. Not the bananas, the monkeys in Goloka, but I'm talking about the ones here in Boma Vrindavan who harass us, taking things. The other day, one monkey, she took somebody's glasses, And they offered a banana to get the glasses back. And then he took the banana and then he broke the glasses. So our minds are like that, rascals. So we have to subdue the mind and also engage the senses. So directly work on keeping your mind engaged and also keep your senses engaged. That's the best way. You work it from both ends. When we get success in some service, the false ego increases. And in failure, the false ego is crushed. So how to get success in service and still don't become puffed up? That's good. Some say, well, that way I just won't be successful. That way I won't get proud. I'll make sure to be a failure in my service. That's big false ego. That's big, big, big false ego. The key is, whatever success you have, you offer that to Srila, to your spiritual master, to the predecessor acharyas, to Lord Krishna, to Vaishnavas. Whatever success you have, don't take the credit. Prabhupada never took the credit. The only credit he would take was that I obeyed my guru. That was the only credit he would take for anything he accomplished. Everything I've done is all by his blessings. I have no credit, but if I have any credit at all, it's that I always serve my spiritual master's instructions. So as long as you have that mood, you're okay. How to get rid of our offenses committed in our mind and clear our heart from our anantas. It's very simple. Anande Bolohadi Bhajavrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Manjayaman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna, worship the holy Vrindavan Dham, and worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So every Vaishnava, he is worshipable. Vancha kapatari vyashta kripa sindhu vyeva cha parinam vamane vya vaishnava manamanama. Every Vaishnava is worshipable. So you must always worship the Vaishnavas within your heart. Every Vaishnava should be worshipped. And this way you'll never commit any offenses. If you just say, well, I have to avoid offenses, so I'm just going to go live in the forest, that way I won't commit any offenses. No. You have to remain in the society of the devotees, because Prabhupada orders to do that. And you have to serve them with love. Give them all honor and respect as Krishna's representatives. Would you tell about the real duty of vanaprastha order of life? Vanaprastha life means you're not into, you know, making money or, you know, acquiring material goods. You're not into having any more children. A married person, you know, he's given up all that. He just wants to visit holy places and he just wants to preach, and that's his only interest. That's vanaprastha life, you see. He's not interested in having children or, you know, having a career. He just arranges his life in such a way that he has nothing to do except, you know, hearing and chanting about Krishna 24 hours a day. That is vanaprastha. How can we always be in the mood of pleasing Krishna? Due to our enjoying mentality, I always think first of my enjoyment, what pleases me the most. Well, that's okay. You have to understand that Krishna consciousness is in your highest self-interest. Do you want to be happy? Do you want to taste the greatest happiness at every minute? Or you have to please Krishna. Just remember the hand and the belly, you see. The hand tries to enjoy separately. He won't be nourished. But if he feeds the belly, then he'll be nourished. So there's nothing wrong with thinking, I'm going to serve Krishna so I can be happy. There's nothing wrong. That's Krishna. That's our philosophy. This is how you become... You can enjoy on an equal level with God. That's there in our teachings. Prabhupada even said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. It's not wrong. If you want to be happy, you're obeying Prabhupada to be happy. But we have to understand what is the method of how to be happy. That's by pleasing Krishna. That gives us pleasure, not otherwise. How to overcome the doership mentality? What are your duties? Daily prayers to Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. How to overcome... We have to remember that, you know, whatever I'm doing right, it's all the mercy of Krishna. Whatever I'm doing wrong, it's all my fault. That will get rid of the doership mentality. And as far as the daily prayers, I have different prayers that I say. Of course, Gravastakam is there for all of us. I'm very fond of the holy places of Vrindavan, those prayers. I'm very fond of those prayers. Jaya Radhe, Jaya, you know those prayers. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Shri Govinda Gopinatha, Madana Mohan. Lately I've been singing that every morning while I shave and brush my teeth. I just go through that the whole bhajan while I'm in the bathroom. It's a great mental bath. When I'm bathing the physical body, I go through that whole song, all the different holy places, all the great, I just like a whole total Vrindavan parikrama while I'm taking, while I'm shaving and brushing my teeth. It's very nice. And then I also will, one of my favorite things is just to work on memorizing verses, because I give lectures constantly. So I'm trying to learn a lot of verses, because it makes verses give the lectures more potency. The more you can quote Shastra, the more it becomes potent. So I like to meditate on a lot of different verses, starting with Bhagavad Gita and the branching out from Bhagavad Gita. Prahlad Maharaj said there is no need to try for happiness in this world. It comes in its own accord, just like miseries come without any endeavor. And people argue they're becoming happy by working hard. In Bhagavad Gita, Prahlad Maharaj, referring to which happiness, is it material or spiritual happiness? The fact is that material happiness comes of its own accord. Material happiness and suffering come of their own accord, according to our past karma. So devotee elevates his consciousness beyond the platform of suffering and enjoying in this world. He elevates himself, Brahmabhuta prasanatma, na sochati, na kongshati, to the Brahmabhuta platform, where there's no hankering, no lamenting. He's equally disposed towards all living beings. And in that state, he attains pure bhakti, you see. He detaches himself from the happiness and the enjoyment of this material world. Philosophically detaches himself. In some situations we understand I have this false ego, but I am not able to be humble in that situation. Basically, unhumbling ourselves in front of the devotees. Well, you can always offer obeisances. When in doubt, offer your obeisances. Is it difficult? Get down on the ground and offer your obeisances when in doubt. We hear of many devotees during the time of Srila Prabhupada were having some spiritual desire or something higher. And that is how they are in movement, by Krishna consciousness guiding many devotees. I didn't come to this movement for any higher cause, so what hope is there for persons like me? There's many reasons people come to Krishna consciousness. It doesn't really matter why you come. Now you're here, make it successful. That's all. Shatarvid habajante mangjana sukritinara jana arto jagasar artarti gyanicha vritar shava. You see? Oh, best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render service unto me. The distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Doesn't matter why you come. But understand these reasons are not very important. Once you come and you get here, the real goal should simply be to please Krishna. That's all. In neophyte devotees, Majjham, senior devotees, in the nine process, hearing, chanting, reading, etc., which is more important by sequentially his progress? I don't understand. Let's see if I can figure out what he means. Try again. In neophyte devotees, the Majjham devotees, and senior devotees, okay, there's three categories. The nine processes, hearing, chanting, reading, etc. Which is more important by sequentially his progress? Actually, hearing is the most important thing. Because if you can't hear, then well, you will chant. So hearing is the foundation. Whatever you may do, it must be based on hearing. How much we should depend on prayer and how much in our endeavor? What is your endeavor? That is depending on Krishna. You cannot endeavor unless Krishna empowers you to endeavor. So you were totally dependent on Krishna, even in our endeavors. I can't even move my hand unless Krishna allows me to move my hand. I can't flap my jaws and speak these words unless Krishna empowers me to speak. So we're totally dependent on Krishna for everything. Even to endeavor, we're dependent on Krishna. So therefore, we have to beg Krishna to empower us. Constantly be in a prayerful mood to beg Krishna to empower us that our endeavors to please Him will be successful. How to drag the uncontrolled mind, especially during chanting. Yato yato nishchalati manaschanjalamashtaram tatastatam niyam yatarat niyam vishamniyam. From wherever the mind wanders, one has to simply withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. But on a higher level understanding, see, that verse is specifically for the yogis. But there's a higher level understanding given by Rupa Goswami. Tunde tundavali riting vitanute tundavali lamdiye karna krodha kadambani gatayate kunarmyem yaspriham chaita prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyad biramita krishne tivarnadvai. Rupa Goswami describes that when that holy name dances in the courtyard of your heart, the mind becomes conquered. So you have to invite the holy name to dance in the courtyard of your heart. You have to allow the holy name to dance in the courtyard of your heart, and then your mind is automatically controlled. Completely controlled, naturally. Hare Krishna Prabhu, how to remain grateful always. Well, if you're not grateful, you're an ingrate. An ingrate is not a very nice thing, to be someone who is ungrateful. They say, don't bite the hand that feeds you, you see. So how you can be ungrateful? Krishna is giving you everything at every minute. It's all by His kindness, by His love, that you have everything. So you simply have to understand the reality and act in the reality. That's all. In spiritual life, we need to do endeavor. Of ask mercy to advance. What is the standard or level of endeavor expected from Krishna? Is success a sign of our perfect endeavor? Krishna just wants to see the sincere endeavor, really. Even if there is failure, if one is sincerely trying one's best, then Krishna sees that you are successful, even if you failed externally. So just make that sincere endeavor. But you can't cheat and make a show of endeavor and not really be sincerely trying to be successful and say, well, you know, I tried my best, but it just didn't happen. No, don't cheat. You have to sincerely try your best to please Guru and Vaishnavas. And then even if you're not successful, Krishna will see, oh, he's sincerely trying, so I give him all credit for his sincere endeavor. How the devotees can improve the japa without sleeping. Then stand up. If you're sleepy, stand up. Dive-bomber japa is not very good, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. If you're sleepy, stand up. If you're still sleepy, walk back and forth. Can you please tell me some tips on improving your chanting? One has to understand that there's nothing more important than chanting Hare Krishna mantra. This will make me or break me in Krishna consciousness. So I must put all of my focus. When it's time for japa, I must put all of my energy in chanting first class. Even after coming to Krishna consciousness, we are often after other things than Krishna. We forget for whom I'm doing services, how to improve. Yeah, it happens. You may get that other thing, but you won't get Krishna. Someone may desire to have a lot of followers. They can become a big, big leader in ISKCON, but their desire always is followers, not to please Krishna. So for some time, if their karma allows it, they will get those followers, but then they will leave Krishna consciousness. What's the use? We have to understand nothing will satisfy me except for Krishna, so let me just endeavor for Krishna, that's all. We can understand success. Which I get by the mercy of the Lord, because the Lord is the controller, but how to understand the mercy of the spiritual master? It's only by the mercy of the spiritual master that you can make any progress in Krishna consciousness, because Krishna doesn't accept your direct service. He only accepts the service which is offered through the medium of the spiritual master. So the spiritual master is very kind, that even your service is not very good service, still he accepts it to encourage you and to help you become good and expert in your service. We read book, but we don't remember after that. Well, I recommend memorizing verses, because then you have to work really hard to memorize a verse. You should have a whole repertoire of shlokas, and that will help you to improve your ability to memorize. You just got to drill it in and keep drilling it until it sticks. It's like throwing mud against the wall until finally some of it sticks. It's not easy for me to learn verses, but I work very hard to learn verses, because it's very wonderful. You can recall, just for your own Krishna consciousness, it's wonderful, even if you're not lecturing so much. But just to have those verses and to be able to recall them at any time, any situation, is very powerful for one's Krishna consciousness. In management, sometime we have to chastise devotees so their service can be done properly. Is that Vaishnava opera? Well, it depends on how you chastise them. Being a manager doesn't give you carte blanche to heavy out the devotees. Well, I'm a manager. No. It has to be in a mood of loving service. You don't have any carte blanche to chastise someone in a cruel, condescending way. No. It is Vaishnavapura. Vaishnavapura means that you're not respecting that this person is a devotee. That's Vaishnavapura. Ada always remained in the mood of servant. Well, you have to understand you are servant. You can't change it. So what do you want to serve? You want to serve your senses? Or you want to serve Krishna? Servant you must be. So, what kind of service do you want? Since you're going to be a servant anyway, you want to serve that which is going to give you temporality, ignorance, and misery, or do you want to serve that which is going to give you eternity, knowledge, and bliss? Can you please explain how failing in service is bigger false ego, as you spoke a few minutes back while answering the question? I'm saying if someone intentionally thinks, you know, I don't like doing this service that I've been asked to do, so I'm going to make sure to do a crummy job so they won't ask me to do it again. They wanted me to clean the toilet, I'll make sure I don't do a good job so they make sure never to ask me to do it again. See, that's big, big false. Whatever service you're given, try to do a first-class job. How can we always... remember Srila Prabhupada while doing services? Prabhupada so much did for us, but I'm not realizing what should be done. Well, if you want to remember Prabhupada, then you should hear and chant about Prabhupada as much as possible. That's how you remember. Whatever you hear and chant, that you will remember. So you can also pray to Prabhupada. My dear Srila Prabhupada, I've been blessed by membership in your movement. Now please bless me that I can always remember you and do everything in such a way that you'll be pleased with me. And that's a very nice prayer. As Tamal Krishna Maharaj so nicely stated in Vrindavan one time, he said, I'm praying to Prabhupada that I can be engaged in whatever way I can best serve his mission. So this is a very good prayer for Prabhupada and also for one's spiritual master. How is the best way that I can serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada and serve the mission of my spiritual master in Prabhupada's service? I'll do anything. Whatever I can do that will best serve the mission, that is what I want to do. You see, that's the right prayer. Chanting is the main process, but hearing is really difficult. The mind is always taking away. Please guide me. You have to realize that Krishna is his name. If Krishna were to personally come and give you his darshan, would you neglect him? So he's doing that in the form of his name. Why are you neglecting him? We lack faith in completely depending on Krishna. How to increase the faith? Well, you have to realize whether you have the faith or not, you're dependent on Krishna for everything. Mare Krishna Rake Ke Rake Krishna Mare Ke. If Krishna wants to protect you, no one can kill you. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can protect you. You're totally dependent on Krishna at every minute. So if you're not feeling dependent on him, that means you don't know what's going on. Your head's up in the clouds. So come down from the clouds and realize that you're dependent completely on Krishna at every step. When difficulties come in my life, I become very serious. I take the process more intensely. But as soon as the difficulty goes, I become again mechanical. So how to always remain intense? Then follow the pathway of Kunti Devi. Beg for more difficulties. Go to your authority and say, please give me difficult service, impossible service. Please give me difficult service. Whatever is the most difficult service, that's the service I want. How to realize our progress in Krishna consciousness. Bhakti pareshanu varovaraktir anyatra chaisa krita eva kala. What is it? Let me see if I can remember them. Bhakti pareshanu varovaraktir anyatra chaisa krita eva kala. Prapadyamanasya yatasnanasyushtushtipushtichurabhayonagasam. Bhagavatam is telling exactly how to realize your progress in Krishna consciousness. When you're eating, does someone have to tell you your belly is filled? Your belly is filling up? The servers come by, they give you firsts, they may give seconds. When the thirds come, you say, no, I have enough. You see, did someone have to tell? No, you know you're filling up, you see. You know your belly is getting filled up. So in the same way, one actually knows they're advancing. You say, well, I don't know that I'm advancing. Well, guess what? You're not. If you're not actually tasting the experiencing advancement, that means you're not advancing. I'll tell you honestly, you're not. You're in a holding pattern. You're not moving forward. If you're actually advancing, three things will be there. You will feel love for Krishna awakening within your heart. You will feel how Krishna is present in everything, in every experience, every sight, every sound, every smell, every taste, every touch. You become more and more conscious of how Krishna is everywhere. And you become automatically, virakti, you become detached from material sense gratification. So the verse translates in this way. Devotion, direct perception of the Lord and detachment from material sense gratification occurs simultaneously in the heart of someone who is advancing in Krishna consciousness. Just as nourishment, eradication of hunger and satisfaction occur increasingly with each bite from one who is engaged in the process of eating. So unless you can bite off, unless you feel your Krishna consciousness is like a satisfying meal that you're biting off every day, and there's some more bites of Krishna consciousness. Unless you feel how it's a satisfying meal, you're not advancing. You need to talk to somebody and find out what you can do to get fixed. You're not advancing. Unless you're feeling these things, bhakti, direct perception of Krishna and everything gradually manifested, just like you can remember whenever you drink water, Krishna is the taste of the water, you see, in this way. Become more and more conscious of how Krishna is everywhere, and Krishna is within everything, and everything is within Krishna. These things should be happening if you're advancing. If you're not getting it, the other thing is you're becoming more detached from sense enjoyment. If you're not becoming detached from sense enjoyment, you're not getting the higher taste. So if you're not advancing, you need to find a devotee who is advancing and take shelter of that devotee and beg their mercy to help you advance. How to realize the mercy of the spiritual master. Spiritual master of Vaishnava, Lord Krishna. Mercy of spiritual master of Vaishnava, Lord Krishna. Not clear to me, but the mercy, if you want to realize the mercy, you have to obey the orders of the spiritual master. It's a simple thing. You only realize the mercy of the spiritual master to the extent that you surrender to his orders. If you just want to appreciate him from a distance as a spectator sport, without following his instructions, you will not be able to appreciate his mercy. Hare Krishna, after hearing so much lecture, taking prasadam, my attraction to Lord Krishna increasing an inch. Well, if it's increasing an inch, you're doing great. It's doing great. Just go one inch at a time, you know. If you can increase your attachment one inch at a time, then you will become a pure devotee in due course. There's nothing wrong if you're, it's just teeny weeny little slow advancement. There's nothing wrong. You just keep moving forward every day, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, then you'll be fine.
Probably the question is why I'm not pinching even a little bit.
Why I'm not? The word not isn't here. Okay. Yeah, not was left out. Well, that means you must not be worshipping the Vaishnavas within your heart. Must be finding fault with Vaishnavas. You're not worshipping Vaishnavas, because that's the first thing, offending Vaishnavas. That's the first thing that will destroy your creeper. You're not worshipping Vaishnavas. So you have to always love and worship the Vaishnavas within your heart. At least respect them formally, if you don't feel anything, you have some bad relationship with someone, you had some fight with them or whatever, but still you have to maintain respectful dealings with them. Because some devotees are in the mud of ignorance, as described, but they should also be respected from a distance. Every devotee should be respected. In our today service to the Lord, I become so mechanical that time goes very fast without thinking where I'm going. Externally, I may get saffron, then Brahman thread, and consider to be senior, so how can we actually continue working or developing? Vaishnava qualities and loving devotional service. Bhaktya. the answer. Try to do it with love. Everything you're doing, try to do it with love. How would Krishna like me to serve him right now? You see. Always think, how would Srila Prabhupada, how would my spiritual master, how would this devotee like me to do this service right now? Always think of doing it in such a way that the devotee is pleased, the spiritual master is pleased, that Krishna is pleased. Then you'll be on the right track. It won't become mechanical. It'll be loving relationship. Every single service we do is loving relationship. Everything. So I see a lot of people are getting kind of sleepy. Kind of like, maybe we should end here then. Everybody can take a nap or whatever and get up and do some service. I'm supposed to go to 4:30, but all the questions are gone. So I very much appreciate that you all have taken this pathway of Krishna consciousness. Kindly remain in this pathway, even if there's some difficulty, tolerate the difficulty. Because I can assure you, if you will tolerate it, you will come out a winner in the end. I've been in this movement for 38, going on 39 years now, and I've seen people come and go. All you really have to do to be successful is stay. That's all you really have to do. When it all comes down, if you just stay, you'll become successful. Just don't go away, and you will definitely be successful in due course of time. I had no idea when I was a young brahmachari that I would someday be an initiating spiritual master, traveling and preaching all over the world. I had no idea this would happen. But I stayed in this. I stayed in Krishna consciousness. Because I truly appreciated Srila Prabhupada. I truly loved Srila Prabhupada. How he was so kind to me. I really appreciated Prabhupada. He wrote me many letters, and there was so much love in those letters. He was treating me just like his dear son. And that really touched my heart. In fact, I remember one letter I wrote him about something. And he wrote me back the answers. But then at the end, you always think, well, maybe the secretary wrote this and Prabhupada didn't really say all these words. The secretary may have done this. Prabhupada gave a general gist of what it should be and the secretary put it all in his own words. There's always that doubt. But on this letter, after Prabhupada signed his name, he also, in his own hand, he wrote a P.S. in ink. See, the letters were typed, you see. Before the days of email, you know. The typed letters would come in an aerogram from Chidandi Goswami Bhaktivedanta Swami. It's the most wonderful thing you get in the mail is a letter from Prabhupada. So, in one letter, after giving me so many formal instructions, he's the guru and I'm the disciple, he's the general in the big army and I'm the little private down there in the rank and file private in Prabhupada's army, you know. But now, in this letter, there was a different... He gave me a little different rasa. It was a father and son. Intimate dealings between the father and the son. Because after saying everything in the official way, then after signing his name, he put, P.S. We are going to Nairobi on Friday night. Just like you may tell a family member, you know, and send a postcard. We're here in Pune right now and we're doing this. You would send a relative, you know, some news about what you're up to. So Prabhupada gave me a little thing, P.S. We are going to Nairobi on Friday night. He just, like I was his son and he was my father and he was just updating me on what he was up to. And that really, really, I went, wow, this is really amazing. I'm his son also. I'm not just his disciple. I'm his beloved son, you see. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada very much captured my heart. And I really have nothing else to do except to try to serve him and please him and love him for all of eternity. So I hope that you all can understand this proper mood that one should have towards Sri Guru and that you can be very successful in your spiritual lives by this loving feeling towards the spiritual master. So we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.